today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, there's a new museum named after Ross Perot in Texas, and a major airline has website issues, but it's not the usual culprit.
The world's tallest hotel is opened. The Canadians tell us what they think are the best attractions in their country.
Our good friend Henry Bernacki stops by to give the Travel Guys a proper send-off.
And Mark has the ultimate list, 10 travel tips to last you until the next Travel Guys broadcast.
All that today on a busy final show as we get ready to ride off into the sunset today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome.
Welcome to, the final edition for a while anyway of the Travel Guys. Tom Romano, very unusual, on the phone, on the road, in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. And they're back in the studio, of course, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, along with our buddy Clayton Whitehead, also from Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi, guys. How's Sacramento?
Sacramento is just fine on a lovely Sunday afternoon. In fact, Arden Fair even has a parking spot or two available.
Well, I guess everybody pretty much shopped out. Yesterday, I took the girls over to one of the malls not too far out of town that has a very popular purse store, and I'm not talking about Coach, which, by the way, you had to let five people out to let five people in. And, it was about 20 minutes to find a parking spot.
Yeah, well, that's Mr. Romano, that's what you get for having a family full of all women. Your fate was pretty much sealed a long time ago, my friend. How's the holidays in San Antonio?
They have been marvelous. Spent the holidays here with my daughter, who works at a wonderful place called Max's Wine Dive. If you're ever here, it's in the quarry. We went on Friday evening to a something that San Antonio has every year, and that's their holiday parade on the Riverwalk. And this is a parade that basically is all boats. Something very unusual. They light all of the Riverwalk with Christmas lights, and there are parades sponsored by a number of stores and hotels and vendors all throughout the San Antonio area, and it's pretty spectacular. I would make it, if you're going to be in this area and you're thinking of coming to the Riverwalk and enjoying the Alamo and all that there is in San Antonio, definitely add the holiday parade. And it usually occurs right after Thanksgiving, and it's one time only, so you'll catch it the day after Thanksgiving.
Ah, thank you for that update, Mr. Romano. So all the family is well in San Antonio?
Everybody is doing well. You know, we've enjoyed our stay and looking to head back to beautiful Sacramento tomorrow. So, I've been telling everyone, you know, I'm going to be doing my show from the last show here from San Antonio, and they wanted to make sure that we told all of our listeners, from our family to yours, have yourself a wonderful holiday. And to all the travel guys back there, Mark and Clayton and Ryan and the entire crew, happy holidays to you guys, too.
Thank you, Thomas. We have a busy schedule here today on the last Travel Guys show for a while. And if you haven't already heard, the Travel Guys are taking a little vacation. This will be our last program until probably about this time next year. So we have a full schedule. So let's strike up the band, Brandon, and get on with today's travel news. Canadians were asked what their top tourist attraction was in Canada. Clayton, what do you suppose that they said was the top tourist attraction in Canada?
Oh, I'd say Niagara Falls.
And indeed it is. They picked one attraction from each province in Canada and asked the Canadians to vote. The Canada's Sun Media newspapers, and indeed Niagara Falls, Ontario, came out on top. Banff National Park was second. The Rocky Mountains in British Columbia, third. Old Quebec City, probably my favorite in Canada, was fourth. And Peggy's Cove Lighthouse in Nova Scotia.
Been to all of them. Beautiful places.
Yeah, great, great.
You know, what, no hockey?
No, no hockey. But Thomas, interestingly enough, the eighth one on the list here for Manitoba was polar bear watching. So, you know, in Saskatchewan, it was the Sand Dunes Provincial Park, and I won't give any further comments about there not being a whole lot to see anywhere in Saskatchewan. Ross Perot has a new museum. The Perot has opened in Dallas after more than 5 years of hope and hype. It has the museum named after the famous Texas billionaire opens in Dallas on December the 1st, likely to be remembered as much for its outside-the-box design. The work was kickstarted with a $50 million, that would be 50 M with million with an M, gift from Perot's children and gifts from other well-to-do Texans. The Perot, as it's already called, has received rave reviews from those who have had private pre-opening visits.
And you know, I'll have to ask you, Mark, what's the difference between Ross Perot and an elephant?
The difference between Ross Perot and an elephant? No idea.
Yeah, Ross Perot has bigger ears. And you know, if they would have opened that museum in here in San Antonio, they would have had to get clear channel clearance. As well as the Bain Corporation would have had to have put their stamp of approval on it.
Hey, listen, speaking of elephants, on TravelGuysRadio.com is a wonderful little video that you should take the time to watch sometime if you have a minute. TravelGuysRadio.com. It's a little video from a friend of ours from CBS Television. And it's called When Elephants Retire. So just TravelGuysRadio.com. Just keep it in mind. All right. Travel updates here. Delta Airlines has a new website. And guess what? It's full of bugs. Delta is having all kinds of problems with it. On Flyer Talk, which is where such topics are dissected and debated ad nauseum, the discussion now has 55 pages and counting, so you might imagine. On TravelGuysRadio.com, we have a list of three ways to communicate directly with Delta Airlines. If you have a flight booked on Delta in the next few weeks, I would recommend to you that you take a minute to go on their website and make sure that your seating assignments and your frequent flyer number and any other special requests or anything that you might have, such as upgrades, have been transferred properly, because having had this experience with United, I can tell you that it can be a challenge. Also in airline news, here's another interesting one. Horrifying health violations found at airline caterers. You may have seen this story on ABC News 2020 recently, that they obtained lists of airline food caterers' health violation records from the FDA, and the results were not good. In a period of...
You don't want to see it on the TV.
In a period of about 4 years, the FDA counted over 1,500 health violations for airlines and their outside caterers. SG Sky Chefs, for example, a caterer that provides food to a number of different airlines, was cited after inspectors found their food facilities to be infested with ants crawling over discarded food, flies both dead and alive, and roaches all over. Another company, Gate Gourmet, reportedly had facilities crawling with roaches, gnats, unrefrigerated food, utensils on dirty racks, and more. The FDA told 2020 that significant problems were found in the airline food industry at a much higher rate than in other companies that the FDA inspects. Now, you might think because you don't eat a meal on an airline anymore, you would be excluded from this. But if you're buying prepared food in the back of the cabin, you would fit into this category too. If Mr. Clayton, it sort of makes you feel like, you know, Yuckarama.
I say bring it from home. PB&J's very good in the friendly skies.
Bag, don't eat it, you know.
That's it. All right, the world's tallest hotel has opened in Dubai. It is a Marriott hotel. And here are the 10 germiest places you can find while traveling. You ready real quickly?
Yes, drum roll.
All right, hotel remotes, airplane bathrooms, airplane tray tables, water fountains, pillows and blankets on planes or in other public places, hotel bedspreads, airplane seat pockets, hotel light switches, touchscreen ticket kiosks, and cruise ship handrails. Those are the places to avoid.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, and that is the travel news for Dave. When we come back after the break, we say goodbye to one of our favorites and your favorite guest over the 3 years of the Travel Guys. Virgin Airlines pilot Henry Bernanke checks in with us. We are the Travel Guys. This is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
Well, look what you found. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom Romano here. Welcome, my friends. One of the people that has been a regular on the Travel Guys, and we talk about him even when he's not present because of all of the photos and exciting things he does, is Henry the Pilot. Welcome, Henry.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you, Mark and Tom? Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Hey.
Mark, for the listeners that might be tuning in for the first time and don't know much about Henry, why don't you give them a little bit of the backstory?
Well, Henry is a pilot for Virgin America Airways and Airlines, and he is has been a guest on the show a number of times in the last couple of years. Henry is a published author and takes pride in his ability to be able to go to the airport and just take off for just about anywhere that life and an airplane and a jump seat will take him. He might be one of the few people who got into the airline business not so he could fly airplanes, but so he could ride on them to get places. Is that fairly accurate, Henry?
That's extremely accurate, Tom, or Mark. Yes, it is.
And Henry, after we had you in studio here, just I don't know, it was about a month or so ago, you took off on one of your adventures to Peru.
Yes, I did, and that's why I came back early, because I knew you guys were going to have a show, one or two more shows, so I wanted to come back and make sure I could speak to you and say what a wonderful time it's been, and hopefully you'll be back on and the next year, I guess you're going to say.
Well, yeah, we're taking a little bit of a sabbatical here because my work schedule is getting to be more than I can cram a hobby of radio into, but yes, we have absolute plans to be back on the air sometime around this time next year, I would hope. So Henry, Peru, Machu Picchu, how is it that had been left off of your list to this point?
I think it was because it's not so easy to get to, but it's a hop, skip, and a jump. It really is. And I've been wanting to see it since I was a sophomore in high school, believe it or not.
There are an awful lot of people, Tom, who have Machu Picchu on their list.
Yeah. You know, well, I saw the pictures that Henry had sent to us, and when you look at them, I mean, it's like another world. The landscape, the clouds, the mountains, the beauty is just incredible.
And if you want to see the pictures that Henry took when he was in Peru, you can go to travelguysradio.com and you can see them. Henry, why don't you give us a little bit of a description? Tell us what Machu Picchu is about and what it was like to go there, since so many people aspire to get there.
Well, they can get there. Well, you have to fly into Lima, and then you're going to probably take a flight or a bus into Cusco, and then you have to take a minivan into a longer city name. It's Ollantaytambo. And then from there, you take a train into Aguascalientes.
Well, that's swell. Most people would not even be able to pronounce those places so that anybody could get them there. Nice for you.
That's exactly true. Believe me, it's like saying the capital of Honduras, Tegucigalpa. It just doesn't roll off your tongue that easy until you've actually been there. Once you're there, you kind of stumble your way through, honestly. It's a good feeling. People are very friendly in Lima. They're going to help you out.
So when you say a hop, skip, and a jump, you literally mean it. So finally, the minivan to your destination.
Yeah, well, there's from Cusco, you fly from Lima to Cusco, and yeah, then you have to take a minivan into a city that's called Ollantaytambo.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you're going to take another form of transportation, and you're going to finally get to Aguascalientes.
Now, we know that you have a tendency to just go with your backpack and befriend people who befriend you and find a place to stay. The average tourist, where would they go? Where would they stay?
There's a number of guest houses, hotels in Cusco. Aguascalientes is the town that you stop in before you actually go to Machu Picchu, but there's plenty of very expensive to well-priced places. And I obviously try to stay in well-priced places because I'm always on the road, but I think they have more charm than the other places that are quite expensive. But there's places for all ranges of budgets. If you're a traveler for a year, you're going to find a place that's probably within $7 range, and you could go up to $100 in Aguascalientes.
$7.
Now, Machu Picchu is a 15th century Inca site. Henry, what attracted you there? What did you find when you got there?
Well, it was discovered it's Lost City of the Incas, and then it was discovered in 1911, I believe, and they stumbled upon it. And to me, when I saw a picture of it when I was in my sophomore Spanish class, it was Lost City of the Incas, and just the way the clouds literally rolled over the greenery of the mountains surrounding this area, I just had to go there. And I don't know why I put it off for so long. And I actually turned 40 years old when I was there on this trip. So,
well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You're doing your best to try to catch up with Mark and I. Good luck with that.
You guys aren't slowing down. You got to slow down. So hopefully.
Well, yeah, we would be happy to slow down. That's not a problem, Henry.
Now, Henry, when you got there and the pictures that you saw in your high school history books and so forth, how close to what you would imagine was it?
The photos are always accurate. It's just the feelings that go through somebody when they actually finally get to be in a place that they've always imagined themselves in. I think that's what's far better than anybody could actually imagine. The photos are always going to be similar, and that's why I try not to describe it in such a way, because the photos will be there, and you can look at the photos, but what you feel when you're there is you finally ended up here at this destination, but the whole process to this destination is what I found spectacular.
Now, Henry, you've lived in Colorado for part of your life, so you've obviously been to Mesa Verde National Park, I'm guessing?
Yes. Yes.
How does this compare?
I guess if I was from Peru and then I went to Mesa Verde, then I'd be, wow, Mesa Verde is amazing. It's all relative to where you grow up, and since Mesa Verde was in my backyard, that's spectacular. But being that I finally arrived at Machu Picchu, I believe since it's not in my backyard, then it was a little bit better.
Now, when you went to the airport for this trip, were you specifically had this destination in mind, or was this just a happen chance?
When I went from San Francisco, I was going to go to Houston and then go to South America. That flight to Houston to South America was full, so I went to Fort Lauderdale. And from there, I was going to go. And I had no idea until I actually got my ticket that I was going to Peru, because I always make it a point to say, I'm going to try and get there. I'm going to try and hit Peru, if not Bolivia, Ecuador, something. And I ended up getting into Lima.
Now, when you jump seat on these airlines, and for folks who don't know, a jump seat is an extra seat in the cockpit where a trainer or an FAA official or somebody that like that could fly, and it's available to other pilots. So did you jump seat down to Peru?
I did jump seat, but they had seats in the back. So that's where we can sit. They either give us an economy, business, or first class, and depending where the seats are. And so, yeah, we call it a jump seat, but I don't sit in the jump seat. I don't have to if there's a seat in the back.
Right. So a successful trip, the dream from high school turned out to be, and the reason I'm quizzing you about this is because, Henry, is because a lot of the folks who travel with me would like to go to Machu Picchu, but there are some altitude considerations there. It's a very high altitude, and as you explained, it's not an easy place to get to. You said hop, skip, and a jump, but it literally is almost a hop, skip, and a jump.
It is. I mean that with, and Cusco is about 11,100 feet. And you have to go through Cusco.
Wow.
And when you finally get to Aguas Calientes, and then you take another, you can either walk from Aguas Calientes, an hour walk up these mountains to get to Machu Picchu, or you can take a small van. So you can get right to there, but you have to do a lot of steps, a lot of climbing during the trip through Machu Picchu. But the altitude at Cusco is the highest, which is 11,100 feet.
No burrows?
No, we only recommend this for people who are in good physical condition and don't have altitude issues. And that's why a lot of folks who dream of getting to Machu Picchu in Peru never get there, because it's not an easy place to get to. It's not inexpensive to get to. And once you get to Lima, it's a whole nother process to get up to Machu Picchu. Henry.
That explains why it was lost for so long.
That literally was the end of the earth. So, Henry, where does your next adventure take you? Any thoughts or ideas?
It's going to be, again, it's going to be West Africa or back to South America to hit, hopefully, Lake Titicaca in Bolivia and then on the Peruvian side. So it's going to be West Africa or back to South America, I believe. And who knows? It might be Cambodia or Laos. But I would say one of those three. But I would definitely say I'm pointing towards Bolivia.
Well, geographically, that narrows it down completely. I mean, that's on half of the planet. Good Lord. Well, Henry, to say that it has been a wonderful ride would be an understatement. I'm glad that we were able to find you. We looked all over for airline pilots who would talk to us in an open and friendly and forthright manner, and I never imagined that we would find someone as willing to speak to us and as willing to share with us as you have. You've told us all about becoming a pilot and sitting in the cockpit cockpit and the associated adventures that have gone along with. So I really, on behalf of our listeners, I really want to thank you for all that you've taken the time to share with us. And as I told you in an email, I know that this is not the end of the line for this program or for our friendship. So I look forward to us getting a chance to reunite down the road.
I certainly appreciate that, and I definitely look forward to catching up with you gentlemen, not even on the radio, but when I'm back up through Sacramento as well.
Thanks, Henry. And for our listeners, all the adventures that we have had with Henry, including talking about actually being a pilot, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. All the podcasts for all of our shows for this nearly 3 years are available there. And if you look hard enough, you'll find Henry on a few of them.
What we're going to do is we'll put all of Henry's shows up there in a special little pod this week.
So the Henry section.
The Henry section. So if you'd like to listen to some of our previous interviews with Henry or some of our programs, be careful, my friend. Be well on the road and create some new adventures, and we will be in touch.
Definitely, gentlemen. Enjoy the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Coming up after the news on The Travel Guys, my final 10 tips to remember. We are The Travel Guys. Hour a week is all we ask. Right back here after the news. Kicking back on a Sunday afternoon with The Travel Guys. This will be our last program for a while. And if you watch TravelGuysRadio.com, it will tell you when the next edition of The Travel Guys. Tom and I have already talked a little bit about podcasts maybe once a month and putting them on our website for folks. And some other possibilities might arise. Can't go into all of that right now, but you never know. Hi, Mr. Clayton.
Hi, Mark. Nice to be here today.
Clayton Whitehead joining us in studio. Tom Romano is out of town for the holiday weekend. He is in San Antonio. He joined us a little bit earlier, and Tom will be back with us for the last segment of the program since he is the other travel guy. And feels a little different being here in studio and having Tom on the road. All right, for this segment, we have a couple of things that we would like to do. First of all, if you would like to win a couple of tickets to see A Christmas Carol, put on by the Sacramento Theater Company. It opens on November the 28th and runs through December the 23rd. So if you would like to get tickets, you can call the box office at 446-7501, or we have some tickets to give away today. Five pairs of them. And what we would like to know is what you have enjoyed most about the Travel Guys radio show. And if you have something interesting, Julie will line you up and put you on the air. You can call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Tell us what you enjoyed about the program, or maybe it was something that we left off that you would like to see us do when we come back around the next time. But anyway, we would love to have your comments, and we're going to take four or five calls very quickly at the end of this segment, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530, and you can get in line, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes. In the meantime, I have a list for you of 10 tips to remember. I'm infamous for my lists on this program, and so I have a list today that I've compiled of 10 things that I think are really important things to remember. If you only remembered one or two of them, it would make you a smarter traveler. So with Clayton's commentary, here we go. 10 tips to remember. Number one, the one I've probably harped on the most on this program, don't fall for the rental car ripoff by allowing yourself to fall victim to rental car companies. Know what your personal insurance covers. Don't accept ridiculous fees for coverage you don't need, no matter how much the salesperson from the rental car company tries to trick you into shelling out more money.
Mark, I rented a car a couple weeks ago, and I went to a friend's funeral in Kansas City, and there were actually 6 upsells. I'd never had so many upsells. 4 of them were different flavors of insurance. It was like high octane insurance and the full strength insurance and then kind of the diet insurance.
Right,
and then,
in case a hamster runs into your car at high speed. Yeah,
and of course, trying to sell you their full tank of gas. So they can really get you. It was a $17 rental, but with their upgrades, I could have spent well over $100 for about the 20 hours that I used the car.
And the upgrade, the upsell on the gas is fine if you really are pretty certain that you're going to use a full tank of gas. But the reality is that sometimes the prices that they're charging you for the full tank of gas are above street prices. So you have to be kind of careful.
That's true. I think a lot of people don't understand that they're actually buying a full tank of gas, whether the car needs it or not, if they buy the fill-up
option. And the only way that you really win on that is if you bring it back into the rental car parking lot gasping on its last...
On fumes.
On fumes.
It was a good deal.
Number two on the list. list. Some airline fees are ridiculous. One is not. The opportunity to upgrade to a better seat in economy for a reasonable amount of money. If you can't get the seat because you're a frequent flyer, pay a little more and be comfortable. Or stop complaining. Airfares adjusted for inflation are way too low. The airlines are making a profit on the little extras, like baggage checks and a little more for certain seats.
Right.
It's not an unreasonable proposition.
Paying a little bit more for a seat sometimes does get you a free bag check, and perhaps it allows you to board early. So if you're not checking that bag for free, but you've got a big carry-on, that's important. So sometimes it's a good value added, very good value added.
Spoken like a man who spends part of his life on airplanes. Number three is get an affinity credit card, preferably for a hotel chain or an airline. And when you do this, keep in mind that when it comes to redeeming your miles and points, hotel rooms are often easier to get than airline seats. And during your vacation, think about which will you use more. I thought this was one of our guests, Clayton, suggested this a few weeks ago from the Chicago seminars. Which will you use more, an airline seat or a hotel room on a week-long vacation? So that's when you're thinking about credit cards and where you want to pile up your points or your miles, that's something to think about, is that the airplane is just a way to get there. The hotel room is where you're perhaps going to be staying during your visit.
Amen to that. I have to give a little kudo to my Hilton Honors American Express card, which is a fee-free card. I think that might be the only fee-free American Express out there.
Yeah.
But the other day I was buying a theater ticket, and the person happened to ask me, did I happen to have an Amex? And I was like, yeah, I've got the Hilton Honors Amex. Well, then that, again, it's one of those value addeds that you're not really expecting. But it got me a better seat for a better price in the theater because Amex was one of the underwriters.
All right. Let's see here. In just a few moments, we're going to take some of your calls. You're invited to call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. If you have a comment about, have you enjoyed the Travel Guys show? What part of it did you enjoy the most? What would you like to see us do if the program comes back on the air? We will give you two tickets to see A Christmas Carol from the Sacramento Theater Company. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. All right, back to the list here. 10 tips to remember. Number four is get to the airport early. Figure out the amount of time you need to reasonably park, transfer, get ticketed, etc. Many of the problems and the stress in the airport experience is a result of people not giving themselves enough time. It's way better to be sitting at the gate for 30 minutes and sweating out the security line as departure time approaches. Give yourself plenty of time. Number five, look past the ratings. Just because a restaurant got two bad reviews on TripAdvisor or Yelp doesn't mean it's a total bomb. Look at the dates and the context of those complaints and use them as a flag, but be careful about judging a business solely on the input of a couple of angry customers. The customer or slash reviewer, despite what you hear, isn't always right. Number six, remember the little people who make your travel experience possible. Tip the housekeeper at the hotel, who is arguably the hardest working and lowest paid person in the entire tourism food chain. Remember, when the storm is blowing outside, lots of people have to leave their families to serve you when you're traveling. Honor them with courtesy and respect, and you'll be surprised how much more enjoyable your travels are.
I have to add a big amen to that.
Yeah.
I travel a lot at holidays. I've traveled a lot in bad weather. And, you know, as you say, those people are far from home and can't even get home sometimes.
And a lot of times those people who are helping you are working for a wage that they had to come to work that day because they need the money. And at great personal risk to their personal safety and leaving families behind and all kinds of things like that, they come and wait on us. So, I mean, it's you're right. It's certainly worth thinking about. Okay, know your rights. In this day and age, information is widely available, so know what should happen at the airport when your flight is canceled. Your rights vary according to the situation, so it's good to know the rules, or more importantly, how to find them when you might need to reinforce them. Does the airline owe you a hotel room, or is it just a courtesy? Are you entitled to meal vouchers for sitting in the airport for 4 hours? And that depends entirely on the situation. So that's know your rights. And in fact, our good friend Ed Perkins did a wonderful thing. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Airlines Contracts of Carriage. Now, the only reason that's the words contracts of carriage are important to you as a traveler is because that's where the airline spells out what they will do and what they won't do. And right on TravelGuysRadio.com today is this. If you click on it, it's down below there. It says Ultimate Guide to Airline Contracts of Carriage. On three pages, you could put this on your computer or in your wallet, and it would tell you what every airline has agreed to do or not to do under different sets of circumstances. Very, very valuable. Thank you, Ed Perkins. Number eight on the list of trips, travel tips to remember, resist the temptation to drag the kitchen sink on the airplane, please. If you have that much junk, fly Southwest so you can check it for free. And also a note here, some airlines are starting to enforce carry-on rules. That would really help resolve the issue of overloaded overhead bins on airplanes, but let's see if they really enforce the rules over a period of time. Number nine, get off the interstate. Patronize a small diner, discover the five-napkin cheeseburger that rocks your world, or the fascinating little museum you would have never seen if you hadn't taken the time. Small towns and the people who live in them are the best part of travel in any country.
You know, it's a great cliche, but it's so true. It's not the destination, but the journey. And the journey is so much sweeter when you're not on a freeway. It just is. And we, in fact, look at our product line. We do so many road trips. Route 66, the Santa Fe Trail, Sherman's March. You don't do any of those things on the interstate.
No, you definitely do not. Number 10 on my list of travel tips to leave you with here is read the fine print. Promise us you'll take a minute to read the fine print, especially when the price seems too good to be true. The person who takes the time to know a little about what they are buying will travel with a lot less stress, expense, and inconvenience. All right, we have time to take a couple of calls here at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Two tickets to see A Christmas Carol from the Sacramento Theater Company are yours just for telling us what you like, what you liked about the travel guys. And let's go to line one here and talk to Ruth. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi, what'd you like about the program?
I love the contest. I was one of the finalists on one of the Travel Guys contests, and I got to come into the radio station for the final segment and meet the actual radio personalities in person, and it was very cool.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that was us. Oh, okay.
That was you.
So, yeah. Ruth, you got to see that Tom and Mark truly do have a face for radio.
Oh, they do. They do. They're naturals.
Yeah. Well, they won't let us anywhere near a television set, you know, because of that issue that Clayton was talking about, the face for radio. Ruth, we have a couple of tickets for you for the Sacramento Theater Company to go see A Christmas Carol. Would you like to go see the show?
I would.
All right. Will you promise me if you don't go that you'll find a friend to use the tickets so they don't go to waste?
Oh, I never waste tickets.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for being a loyal listener, and thank you for your call. Let's go to Linda in Sacramento on... No, let's not go to Linda in Sacramento online. They're waving to me from the other side. One of our road reporters, Chris Galloway, asked me to remind folks, you know, we've talked, Clayton, a lot about Cuba on this program and about taking trips to Cuba and having taking sports leisure travelers down there. And we talked about the possibility that that might happen. And there's all these issues with the licensing and stuff like that, which was backed up for a while as we got closer to the election and now seems to have freed up again. And so Chris asked me to tell the folks who have we have a long list of people who are interested in going to Cuba with us. And so he asked me to tell you all that Cuba will be on the sports leisure agenda for January of 2014. Provided that there are no glitches in the meantime. And so it's real important. Clayton, you may know this already, but for folks from California, it gets real humid in southern Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Cuba is kind of an extension of southern Florida. So we don't take folks to Key West anytime after about mid-February. And I wouldn't take people to Cuba after that time either. So that's why we chose to wait a year, was just because we didn't want to throw something together at the last minute. We wanted to make sure that we had plenty of time to really take folks down. And because it's probably a trip to Cuba for someone from California is probably a once in a lifetime shot, wouldn't you say?
Yes. And the dead of winter for us is really quite pleasant for them.
Yeah. Well, and that is the best time really to travel down there. Before Christmas probably would be good, but they're still doing the people to people thing in Cuba. So Chris is putting together a wonderful itinerary with one of the folks who is licensed to take people there. And after all, sports leisure trips are mostly about meeting people and learning about their culture and stuff like that anyway. So we will be very qualified for that.
I shall look forward to it.
All right. One more segment on the Travel Guys. When we come back, we will take some of your calls. We still have some tickets to the Sacramento Theater Company, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. If you can tell us what you liked most about the Travel Guys, we'll come back and say our final goodbyes, share some final travel tips with you right after this. This is Mark Kaufman for Tom Romano and Clayton Whitehead on KFBK.
Don't stop me now.
All right. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman for Tom Romano. Clayton Whitehead joining us in studio today. I want to remind you that anything that that you have heard on the program today that you have found interesting can be links to all of this exciting stuff can be found at travelguysradio.com, along with a bunch of other just interesting good stuff that you will need: frequent flyer websites, how to get registered for the STEP program if you are traveling overseas, so your government will know where to find you in case of an emergency. We mentioned earlier today about the airline contracts of carriage, which is basically what they have to do to help you when you're in a spot. Wouldn't be a bad thing to have. Why banking your frequent flyer points is a horrible idea. And things from the news today, the travel tips that we talked about, and all kinds of cool stuff at travelguysradio.com. You would do yourself a favor by going there. There's a really cool article on there today about saving lives in the airport. Hey, Clayton, do you know what an AED is?
Yes, it's like the shock thing.
Yeah.
It probably has a defibrillator.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes.
And they're in airports all over the place. And until Kevin Murphy of our staff, who has been brilliant over 3 years sending me things for this program, the number of things that Kevin has sent me that have ended up on the air would be in the hundreds probably. But Kevin sent me the link to this that provided us with provided me with an opportunity to watch a video and learn about it. If you're in airports frequently, you could save somebody's life by knowing what this thing is. All you have to do is take it off the wall, open it up, and it will tell you how to make it work.
And it's not just airports. They're popping up in all sorts of public places, arenas, malls, wherever there are liable to be a lot of people.
Yeah. So if you're so inclined, travelguysradio.com, and just scroll down there and you'll see links from the show, and you will see the ultimate guide to airline contracts of carriage, and you'll also see Heart Rescue Now. All right. Back on the phone with us from San Antonio is Tom Romano. Hi, Thomas.
Hello there, my friend. By the way, there's one down the hall if you need it.
Right here in the KFBK studios?
Yeah, I do believe we have one in the building. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of faces for radio, Mark and Clayton have clearly faces for TV. I saw you guys at the beginning of during the Ken Burns Dust Bowl special. You guys look great, and I'll tell you, I look at them, and as years go by, you look more and more like each other. You could almost be brothers, and you do such a swell job, and I know that the community, as well as KVIE, really, really thanks you for all the support for public television, and that is an awesome series.
Well, thank you, Tom. We have had now twice the opportunity to be an underwriter for one of Mr. Burns' programs. The other was his update on baseball, and it really is something that we are proud of. When Clayton arrived on the scene here almost two decades ago, we kind of stepped up our commitment to public television because he had the time to be able to volunteer on the air, and still does so on a regular basis. And I think public television gives, it's the people's voice. It's an opportunity. They run a lot of programs on that station that you just do not see other places. So thank you, Tom, for recognizing that. Clayton, did you have anything you wanted to?
It was a wonderful program. I was able to meet the producers and see an advanced screening of it a few weeks ago at the station. And I don't know that I've ever been so proud to be affiliated with that station or with a program specifically. I mean, who knew? Who knew?
It's a piece of American history that is kind of forgotten. Those people didn't have any money. They didn't have anything when they had to leave Kansas, Oklahoma, et cetera, and head out on old Route 66, hoping that their tires would bring them to California, which in most cases they didn't. So it's a tragic story, and it's also a reminder that despite the fact that we call our country a melting pot, that it doesn't visitors, even when they're from our own country, are not always welcome in strange places. So it was a great program. If you did not catch it, be sure to watch for one of the replays. All right, Thomas, we are about 5 minutes here from wrapping up our final program. I wanted to just take a couple of minutes and say some thank yous to a few people. First of all, before I forget, I wanted to thank Seema and Julie and Brandon and Aaron, who have been our team here on the weekend for the last quite some time. And they have really done a terrific job for us. They are folks who enjoy what they do, and it shows. They come in here on the weekends, and you'd think, you know, on the weekends maybe you'd get the second string. I'm just here to tell you that the second string at this station doesn't play like a second string. So thanks to them for all that they have done to assist us over the 3 years. And also to the guests that have come on the program, folks like Ed Perkins and Henry Bernanke and Summer Hall from Mommy Points and Becky Rapp from American Road and the good folks at Sacramento International Airport, Gail and Becky and Ben Schlappig from One Mile at a Time, and all the road reporters who have joined us when they were out on tour, Scott and Chris and Clayton and Ramona, and the folks who have worked really hard to make this program a success, which also includes...
And don't forget our latest edition, and we hope to have him back when we air again, and that would be Steve LaRosa.
Absolutely. Steve was one of the last additions to the Travel Guys team and one of our best additions, I really thought, Thomas. So thank you for bringing Steve along. And also, I'm very proud of the fact that when we created an entertainment segment on this program about a year and a half ago, that we opened up part of the program to cultural arts community organizations who were invited on the show to promote their events, and a couple of dozen of them came on here. And I know that they are all very appreciative for that opportunity, too. Thomas?
We actually brought live singing talent right into the studio, which doesn't happen too often these days. You know, Mark, I just have to say that I want to thank you and Sports Leisure Vacations for allowing me to be a part of the program and say that it was a great experience. The amount of stuff that I learned about travel from this show would fill a novel. I had an opportunity, unlike a lot of folks, to not hear every show. I had a chance to hear every show, and some of them twice. And, you know, and I appreciate the opportunity to actually, once in a while, I could even actually answer a question from time to time about travel. But it meant a lot to me, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with more Travel Guys in the future. Mark, tell me about what the show has meant to you as a non-radio guy. Kinda. Now, I got to qualify that. Mark does have some radio background in sports radio, and so as he came to the Travel Guys, he wasn't totally green, but tell us about your feelings.
Well, it's being on the radio has always been a dream of mine, and as you alluded to, in the early 90s here in town on a station called KSAC, which had a sports format for a while, I had the opportunity to do some afternoon anchoring and some talk show hosting over there, and that was a lot of fun. Sports is my passion, not my life, like travel is, but my passion. And the opportunity to do this has been a lot of fun. It's a tremendous amount of work to put together an hour-long radio program every week, but it really has been a lot of fun. And I look forward to the opportunity to do it again, because Tom and I, you and I have worked together for a long time. And coming into the control room now is Erin Haight, our news lady.
Weepy.
It's kind of a sad moment, but I promise we are not gone for good. We are just gone for a while.
I know. I'll just miss you. That's all.
Well, we just it's been so nice to come here and see Erin every week, and Brandon and Julie and Seema, who have helped us with the program, and all the others. Jim Naylor,
yes,
who was our original news guy,
yes,
here at the station when we first went on the air. The first year we were every other week. So, Clayton, have you enjoyed your opportunity to be on?
Absolutely. And I think there's an elephant in the room, if I may, for just a moment. We've been talking a lot about the fact this is the last show, but it's been a few weeks since we told people why. And that is because Mark was elected to lead the International Trade Association for the group travel industry.
Which is huge.
And for the second time, I might add, he's the only two-time leader of that association. He was our leader back in 2000 and now again in calendar year 2013.
Well, thank you all, gang. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Mark. Couldn't have done it without you. ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in and look forward to seeing you next time around.
Yep, we are the Travel Guys. We will be back, I promise. Remember, an hour a week is all we have asked. Thank you so much for being listeners to our program. We will see you on the road.